97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right. Good Friday morning to you. You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show. That's me. I'm Mark. We got Kim St. Ange in here just down the table here from me. And Ethan Bright is handling the board for us this morning. We appreciate that. Sue Thomas has got your traffic for you, trying to keep you up to date here. We appreciate you tuning in. Remember, you can always pick up a podcast of everything we discuss here on the morning show any time of the day, whenever it's convenient for you, wherever you get your podcast. Just look for the Mark Cox Morning Show there on Spotify or Apple or wherever you pick up your podcast. You can go to our website, 971talk.com. The Odyssey app is easy because you can listen to it everywhere. When I travel, which I'll be doing over the course of the next week or so, and I'm driving, I just plug in the Odyssey app through the CarPlay, and I can listen to all of our programming all day long. Right there, and it's so easy, and the signal never fades out, and it's just a beautiful thing. So you don't have to worry about it. We appreciate that, however you get there. By the way, when you're on the website, 971talk.com, go ahead and nominate a first responder. We need more nominations, as always, for your favorite firefighter, police officer, EMS worker, your favorite first responder. We look at those nominations. We pick a winner every month. Grill Master Tony makes the food, and we are always honoring our first responders. I'll deliver the food after we pick a winner. And then we try to do that every month. We'll do it every month this year. Tony is always happy to help. If you need catering or anything, go to grillmastertony.com. Hey, I went to a great event last night. We had my friend Chris Howard in here the other day, earlier this week. He's long time. He's been involved in political issues in the St. Louis County area. He works for St. Louis County government right now, in fact. But he lives in Jefferson County, and he announced last night publicly that to the group that gathered that he's running for Jefferson County executive. So congratulations to Chris Howard. That's a big step. He's never run for political office. He's helped a lot of other people who have run for political office. But lots of great opportunities down there. Lots of common sense approaches and conservative approaches to how to grow Jefferson County, right? Which is, of course, as he described it, the majority of people who live in Jefferson County, many of them work outside of Jefferson County, but they choose to live in Jefferson County. So you have to balance new construction and bringing in, you know, new residents with bringing in some jobs. And I think that makes a lot of sense. You want to balance those things so it doesn't lose some of its flavor there in Jefferson County. So I loved hearing that last night. We wish Chris the best of luck in his run for that office. I had the honor of going down there and introducing him last night. Coming up, we're going to get to Ryan Schmelz. I don't know who this schmuck of a parliamentarian is they have in the United States Senate, but apparently she's been around since Harry Reid's days. I mean, that's going back a while. Reid has passed away now, and he's the reason the Senate's so screwed up in voting on federal judges. That he's the reason that the judiciary in the United States is so polarized. It's Harry Reid. Harry Reid got mad that he couldn't get the lefty judges that Barack Obama wanted in office, so he changed the rules in the Senate. And you only needed a simple majority to approve a judge to a lifetime role. And they put in hundreds of their hardliners, lefties. And then Joe Biden did the same thing. And Donald Trump's 4 years in between, he tried, but he didn't nearly balance out what the left was able, the damage they were able to do since Harry Reid changed that rule. So that's one reason the judiciary is the way it is today. And now the parliamentarian is a leftover from the Harry Reid days. And she's tossed out a bunch of key things that she's trying to claim they can't do under parliamentary rules, and Republicans don't agree with her. John Thune, the majority leader there, could kick her out, but he won't, or at least he won't yet. So we're going to check in with Ryan Schmelz on why that is coming up here in the next segment. Stay tuned for that. A little later, Alan Dershowitz, the attorney. You've seen him on Fox a lot. He's kind of been isolated. He used to be one of the welcomed at all the big parties on the left coast and the east coast about from all the liberals. And then, of course, when he ever came out and defended the lawfare or argued against the lawfare against Donald Trump, they all wouldn't have anything to do with him. He was suddenly like a nuclear. He was toxic. He was like enriched uranium driving around Iran somewhere. Nobody wanted to deal with him. And now he's got a book out, and we're going to talk to him about that and some of the Supreme Court decisions coming out today. That's coming up at the top of the 8 o'clock hour. Congressman Eric Burleson, we've got a full show for you on this Friday morning. Right now, Ethan, I want us to get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
All right, that is operator error over here. Stand by.
In August, that said there's a direct inverse correlation between the amount of fluoride in your water and your loss of IQ.
Well, that explains a lot, doesn't it? That's RFK Jr. Yesterday talking about the fact that a lot of us are more stupid than we should be because of all of the fluoride that has been infecting our water since the 1960s. That is some frightening stuff.
You know it's a good bill because the left hates it. And the left hates it because the bill actually empowers families, empowers Americans versus empowering government.
Jim Jordan on the big, beautiful bill that's supposed to be done by next weekend. And so far, it is not looking good in the Senate.
We're having some great deals. We have one coming up maybe with India, very big one, where we're going to open up India. In the China deal, we're starting to open up China.
China. He didn't say China that time. He said we're going to have a China deal and a deal with India, which are both would both be huge to the economy. It's one reason the stock market is back at record levels.
We're going to provide $65 million in funding for gender-affirming care, the same amount of funding the federal government threatened to pull out from local providers for that kind of work.
Yeah, in case you had trouble hearing that because the audio wasn't great, that was the guy, that the socialist who could soon be the mayor of New York City. He's promising these crazed leftists up there, and this is why he won this low turnout Democrat primary, that he's going to spend $65 million on sex change money for minors. $65 million for transgender treatments in New York City because the federal government is threatening to withhold money from them because they do that. So he's going to, he claims, take $65 million out of the city budget and do it. Now, as Eric Adams pointed out yesterday, he can't just do what he wants. He said, I don't know if he's never studied a textbook on how you are mayor, but the mayor has to work with their selected board to spend money. This guy wants to socialize grocery stores.
Now, the problem is, because those are both crazy ideas to me, and who would vote for that? But are there enough crazy other liberals in New York City where he would have enough support on the board to be able to do something like that?
I can't imagine. But, you know, these big blue cities are not enough people are involved in politics, and the ones that are often the craziest. they are. Hey, let's name a tune, Kim. Can you name this tune? You got it, Kim?
Should I know?
You should know this. This is famous. This is from when I'm about to call him the Zohan. When Zohran Mamdani was a rap star.
Oh, it wasn't his mom, like, or he was in a movie too, and his mom was the producer or the director. I watched a clip on that. By the way, you know, we talk about how some of these congresswomen will, like Jasmine Crockett, will change her voice depending on who she's talking to. Like, she's a chameleon. So does this guy.
Oh, of course.
He's completely different from one scenario to the other. And you're like, I'm sorry. Which one is it? You're going to need to pick an accent. Do you have an accent or do you not?
I mean, it works. It works for the Zelensky over in Ukraine. He used to be a singer and a rap star, remember, and an actor and all that stuff.
So is that the requirement now?
I don't know.
No political background. You just need to be a rap star
just
and then
start wearing a tracksuit.
Boom, you're qualified.
Boom. He may be elected. Who knows? We'll see. Oh, boy, that's scary. Certainly somebody will step up and provide a decent challenge up there in New York. All right. Ryan Schmelz is going to call us. He, of course, works in Washington, D.C., and he's got a little better handle on what's going on up there with the Senate and the parliamentarian and what happens next, because right now a whole bunch of Republicans are a no on the big, beautiful bill. Back here after this.
We're here this afternoon to share the stories of an incredible group of patriots from across the nation whose future we are defending with the one big, beautiful bill. This is the ultimate codification of our agenda to, very simply, a phrase that's been used pretty well by me over the last 10 years, but maybe even before that, make America great again. Very simple, make America great again.
Yeah, the president yesterday, he is pulling out all the stops to try to get this thing through, but it has hit a bit of a snag in the Senate. And that is because of a position called the Senate Parliamentarian. And it's a lady who I'm pretty sure I've heard her name before, but she was appointed many years. She's been in that position many years. And now she's saying parts of this can't be done through reconciliation. We've asked Ryan Schmelz to join us from Fox News Radio. Good morning, Ryan.
Hey, good morning, Mark.
This thing gets more complicated by the day.
Just a little bit, yeah. So now we've got to explain to people what the bird bath is and the bird rule. So the bird rule pretty much says that if you're going to use the budget reconciliation process, which allows them to pass this with a 50-vote threshold instead of a 60-vote threshold, then everything you put into the bill has to be strictly a fiscal matter or budgetary. In this case, the bird rule came for a number of different provisions. There were ones that we were not surprised about, like the push to overhaul federal judges and a couple others. But when the parliamentarian took an axe to a number of the Medicaid provisions that Republicans had, which were key in paying for this piece of legislation, that's kind of thrown this thing into a bind to the point where Republicans don't know if they'll be able to pay for the bill or what their next steps are in terms of getting around the parliamentarian and moving forward.
I read a headline this morning that said John Thune, the Senate leader, had replied no when asked whether or not he would try to override the parliamentarian. Now, Trent Lott did that back in the 90s, if I remember correctly. It's been done before, right?
Yeah, I believe it has been done before, yes. And there are always ways around the parliamentarian and doing things that way. But Thune has just said that straight up, he does not think that's going to be the best path forward. There are other, I think his idea is that right now they're just going to try to rewrite the legislation and work within her standards. There are certainly definitely ways you can write some of these texts so that they don't become a problem and that she'll ultimately approve them. But what that's going to look like, we don't know yet. One of the committees, the Banking and Finance Committee, released its text late last night for how they're going to revise it to send back to the back to her to get them approved. But, is she going to approve everything again? What's she going to be willing to take and not take? So I think it's just kind of a big influx moment that we're in right now where we don't know what's going to happen next.
Trump's been very adamant. I want this on my desk by July 4th. That obviously is coming up. That's next Friday. So I don't know what the odds are of that actually happening at this point with all these new developments. But Thune has also said, hey, you're staying here. We're not going home until this is yeah. agreed upon. I mean, what are you hearing there in Capitol Hill as far as what that might look like for them leading up to this weekend and the holiday weekend next weekend?
Well, Kim, I think right now we were expecting going into today that the Friday might be a time for them to start the vote process, but now they don't even have the bill text, so it might not be a Friday vote like we were originally expecting. So does that get moved to Saturday or maybe even Sunday? That's maybe the next step. But if the Senate's able to get this thing passed on Sunday and it's a product that the House is willing to swallow, then we could probably see the House vote on this likely Tuesday. And then, it gets on then President Trump can sign it into law on the 4th of July. So they still have a good opportunity here. But, lawmakers are going to probably have to come back next week. They're going to probably have to vote on this thing at some point. So the 4th of July deadline is still realistic. But this definitely did complicate things at least a little bit.
Yeah. What about the claims that she's partisan, Elizabeth McDonough, because she was appointed by Harry Reid back in 2011, yep. right? 2012?
Yeah, that's correct. And yeah, I mean, this was what was always going to happen when things were taken out of the bill. I think that those arguments that she's partisan got a little bit louder yesterday just because of how much she took out. And, she's arguing a lot of these things are political, not fiscal, but a lot of these things were what Republicans were using to pay for the One Big Beautiful Bill Act. Mm-hmm. So I think definitely there are a lot more people thinking she's partisan now after yesterday. But we'll see what ultimately happens. You have some people calling for her to be fired,
yeah,
like Tommy Tuberville from Alabama. You know, Josh Hawley actually threw some cold water on this yesterday when, you know, we said, well, would you want to fire the parliamentary? He's like, look, we just don't have the votes to do that, so it's not going to happen.
All right. Ryan Schmelz, thank you, my friend.
Of course. Thank you. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, you too. We'll talk soon. Ryan Schmelz there, Fox News Radio. We'll get to a quick break of a check of business with Nicole coming up. Kim, do you know this song?
Nope. Who is it?
It's The Who. It's Boris the Spider. And the guy singing it is John Entwistle, who was one of the greatest bass players in rock and roll history. And this is the anniversary of his death. How long has it been, Ethan?
He died in 2002.
Wow. I can't believe it's been that long since he's been gone.
In a hotel room in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
So many rock stars. Or was it?
He had a heart attack triggered by a little Columbia marching powder.
Oh, okay.
Columbia what powder?
Marching powder.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. I wondered about that. Hey, speaking of stuff that you ingest, listen to what RFK said yesterday about stuff that you probably drink on a daily basis.
Is parents need to decide, because the science is very clear on fluoride. The National Toxicity Program issued a report, a meta-review of all the science on it in August that said there's a direct inverse correlation between the amount of fluoride in your water and your loss of IQ. So even small increments of fluoride cause loss IQ, and particularly in babies, in neonates, and in, you know, in pre-birth, if the mother's exposed.
Well, that's just nice.
I tell you, honestly, I'm feeling better and better about all the beer I drink, because I know they're not using that water that's got fluoride in it for my beer.
I grew up, call this, you know, spoiled, whatever you want to call it. We grew up with like the Mountain Valley water, you know, where you push a little button down, because my parents have always just for many, many years, I've been hearing about fluoride and just the stuff that's in our water. And so they've always invested. They said it was worth the money. They'd rather cut other expenses if necessary in order to have really good quality water. My dad still has it. One of my sisters has it. So we have a Brita at home, but gosh, it makes me feel like I need to invest in this spring water, because you just don't. No, and if you have distilled water, then they're stripping out all the nutrients. So,
what do you do for it? Now, see, all those people that walked around with a water bottle all those years.
That I have right here that I always drink, Mark Cox? I'm just kidding
you, because the alcohol probably kills more brain cells than the fluoride.
I didn't say there was water in here. I'm kidding.
Let's get to Nicole, please. Oh, isn't that refreshing, Nicole, that all the fluoride that saved you from cavities over the years, it has also been lowering your IQ.
I'm with you. That means all the wine I've been drinking is super helpful.
Thank you. Because they're not putting that fluoride water in your wine or your beer. That's all filtered natural water, right?
So in essence, we're making a healthier decision?
Well, I'm kind of trying to make that argument here. What do you think?
Let's not go that far. Mark wants that to be the reality of the situation, but...
Yeah. I'm sure that there's clear, unfiltered water in my bourbon. So that's, I'm just trying to think this through to its logical conclusion.
We're healthy. It's fine. Wait,
that's it. We're doing just fine.
Just fine.
Hey, the market reached its new highs again, didn't it? Am I wrong about that?
I believe you're correct.
I think they're back up to almost record levels at some of the indices.
Well, very nice. How lovely.
Cool. What's going on out there?
Here we go. Futures are slightly higher. Yesterday, the Dow Industrials gained 404. The NASDAQ up 194. The S&P 500 up 48. The Missouri Athletic Club announced Thursday that it will open a new location in Clayton. The MAC's new location will feature upscale dining, a bar, business meeting rooms, event space, and lounge areas. Dining service will be offered Monday through Friday. Saturday evening will also be available. Nordstrom will lay off 135 workers when the department store closes at St. Louis Galleria later this summer. The company notified the state of the layoffs in a letter this week and said that certain employees will have the opportunity to transfer to other Nordstrom locations. Mall officials said that the Nordstrom store will be replaced by a Dick's House of Sport. A South County bakery that's been accused of trademark infringement is now shutting down its storefront operations. MacArthur's Bakery announced that starting July 11th, it is switching to an online-only model for bakery orders. Investors will watch this morning for data from the May reading of Personal Consumption Expenditures Price Index. Economists polled by Dow Jones expect the index to tick 0.1% higher on the month and 2.3% higher from a year ago. Data drops at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time. The average rate on a 30-year mortgage fell to its lowest level since early May, and that's an encouraging trend for prospective homebuyers. Freddie Mac says the long-term rate fell to 6.77% from 6.81% last week. And finally, Monopoly's new upcoming version is replacing paper cash with a smartphone app that tracks balances in owned properties. The new game drops in August of this year and will cost roughly $25.
No. I have strong feelings about this because this has been my family's game, though my husband and I do not play well together because we just argue about the deals. So we can't play just ourselves. But this is a game I grew up playing. And I remember when they came out with the little thing that had the debit card, you know, and it was stupid. No, there's something about having the actual cash that's way more fun. And my dad would like hide the cash, like a $500 in his sock or under the board. And then you think that you've got him and you're about to take over. And then he whips out the $500.
What you're saying is it'd be harder to cheat this way.
Yeah, well, it's not real. I mean, I get irritated when I'm playing with him, but he's smart to do it. I'm just saying it's stupid. Like just there's something about having the money in your hand.
I'm just kidding, Hugh. I'm not accusing you of being dishonest.
I hope he's listening.
I'm not at all.
I am. That's cheating.
No, I mean, I've done it before, too. I mean, as long as you know other people could be doing it. Because if you think about it, you're not like fanning out your money for everyone to see. So you're kind of concealing it anyway. So putting it in your sock might not be that different.
I don't know. There's also something so satisfying about when you steal someone's property, making them hand you that card.
No, handing the cash is more satisfying. Like a big fat old stack of cash is way better.
I want the transaction. I want you to look me in the eyes and hand it over.
Yeah, exactly.
No mercy.
Wow.
Yes, no mercy.
Cutthroat. You're a cutthroat board player, huh?
I lose friends over this game.
I'm
yes.
very competitive. My brother-in-law gives me a hard time. Like the train game, if you've ever played that, he thinks it's funny to give me a hard time because I get
little,
very
little
competitive
very,
with games.
All right.
Yeah.
I'll remember that. All right, Nicole, thank you. Have a great weekend.
You as well. Thank you.
You bet. Nicole Murray there. I don't know. I was listening to her story there about the MAC putting a new location in Clayton. When the suggestion first came out the other day that they were getting ready to move, the idea was that the story suggested they were going to relocate the one downtown to Clayton. This sounds like they're opening another location. Maybe it's going to open the new location and get it started and then close the one downtown. I mean, the one downtown is historic in many ways. The rich mahogany and the paneled walls and the smell of many leather-bound books and the cigar lounge. See, that's the thing. That's my question. And I don't know the answer to this, but I'm going to ask it anyway. If I remember my news stories correctly, it is now illegal to smoke in Shaw Park in Clayton. Like, you can't walk through Shaw Park and smoke a cigarette. Like, they've got air quality standards or whatever. The one thing that the Mac brags about down here is that all the people who are members can go down there into the cigar lounge or the bar. There's one on the first floor and there's one on the top floor, and you can go in there and smoke a cigar. My guess is you won't be able to do that in Clayton.
Yeah, it's a good question.
I don't know.
Can't say I'm a big cigar smoker, but...
Well, no, but
I mean, it matters. People, obviously, there's a reason why people would enjoy doing that, and so that... I don't know.
I don't know if that's part of the equation there for some people or not. You're right. It may not be their primary reason for being members, but it has been long tradition at the one downtown.
People like
so
the option, probably.
Yes, they probably do. Interesting. All right, coming up, we're going to get to another news. Next hour, we've got Eric Burleson joining us. Eric is, of course, the congressman from the 7th District. Right now, I'm told he's a no. On the big, beautiful bill. If it comes back the way it is, stripped with parts stripped out by the parliamentarian, he's a no. So we're going to add up the math with Congressman Eric Burleson for the House side, at least, coming up at about 7:35. Brent Sadler is going to join us today, filling in for J.J. Carafano. And, of course, he's a foreign policy expert. And we're going to talk to him about what's going on maybe in the Middle East and what he thinks about this defense report that got leaked. And the media, of course, used it to their advantage to try to damage the Trump administration, which is what they seem to do on a regular basis. All that's coming up for you right here on the Mark Cox Morning Show.
Jeff Bezos and Lauren Sanchez are tying the knot this weekend in Venice. And wow, have you seen these images of all these celebrities who are arriving there? Yeah. Arriving on their boats. It's everybody. You have Tom Brady, you have Ivanka Trump, you have Oprah, Usher, the whole Kardashian clan, who I cannot stand them. But wow, this is, I think it's only like 200 guests apparently, and there's protesters in Venice who are really angry, and they say the city wants nothing to do with them there. But the show goes on. I mean, it's a multi-million dollar wedding. I think that the leaders there are going to be like, yeah, that would be all right with us if you had your wedding here.
I read that there are like statues, paper mache statues and everything of Bezos popping up all over town. I don't know what the fascination is.
They're strapping him to boats, I think, too.
Oh, my goodness.
It's weird. Yeah.
Oh, my. all right, so I know you've heard of this guy, but I want to play this bite for you. This is from the Greg Gutfeld show last night. Kat Timpf was filling in for Greg Gutfeld. Listen.
Sad news. Edward Korestein, a.k.a. Big Balls, has resigned from the federal government. He tried to hang in there, but some speculate that he was sacked. Others say he drove everyone nuts.
So, of course, all jokes aside, this guy named Edward Korestein became famous because of his online nickname. And apparently he's left Doge, but he's not leaving the government. He left Doge, but he's going to sign on now and work for the Social Security Administration, helping to do the same thing.
This whole thing with the big balls, you look at some of the other headlines. Here's one of the headlines from the Daily Beast. Nuts plot twist. They're all having fun with the different headlines.
Of course they are.
This 19-year-old who decided to dub himself Big Balls. I mean,
yeah.
It's apparently hard to even say it with the straight face.
A smart guy, but he's still working for the government, in case you were wondering.
Yeah, have no fear. But we need some people like him on Doge. I hope, not too many people leave. Because a lot of them are these younger people who are working crazy hours for basically, no money.
I worry now that Musk is gone. There you go. Yeah.
All right. Here's a really cute, well, I say cute. I don't know if you'll think it's cute. But there was a pair of these young little European brown bears out of England. And they escaped from their England Wildlife Park little area enclosure or whatever, 5 years old, and they went to the staff only food storage area, and they ended up eating a week's worth of honey. And it was funny because the cameras there at the wildlife park caught the whole thing and ended up passing out after eating all the honey. They were digging into this for like a couple hours, and then they were able to get the bears back into their enclosures. But it was just really, like,
where's Pooh
and Piglet?
Thank you.
Eeyore, where are you?
He never ate too much
honey. Hey, guys, stop eating the honey.
Hey, here's my, I've long had an issue with this BMI thing, right? Body mass index. Have you ever had a ranking for that?
Yep. Where,
and because I've always argued that, well, I'm big boned, right?
Oh,
so that doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
This proves it out, though. There's a new study out that says when it comes to measuring BMI, it ends up fast tracking people into falsely leading them to believe they're in danger. The issue is that BMI measures health risk by calculating height and weight. However, as I've long argued, muscle and bone weigh more than fat, so BMI measurements can overestimate the danger for people with a muscular build or a larger frame. Ethan, we're in luck. You hearing this here?
No, I'm not.
Because we're both muscular.
Super muscular.
Conversely, BMI can underestimate health concerns in older adults and anyone who has lost muscle. This is according to a Harvard T. Chan School of Public Health report out of Boston.
I wouldn't say BMI is the end-all be-all, but I do think it's funny where people are changing the metrics so that they feel better about themselves.
Right.
Well, the insurance...
Moving goalposts.
Mark.
The insurance weight chart says that I should weigh 175 pounds. I would be anorexic if I weighed 175 pounds. I'm just saying. I'm not laughing at anorexics.
No.
I would look gaunt if I weighed 175 pounds.
Yeah, I'm probably supposed to be like 120. Yeah. I'm 5'4", right. And I don't, even before I was pregnant, which I weigh a lot more than that now, but even before I was pregnant, I didn't weigh 120.
So. I don't think anybody cares about those things.
No. Probably not.
So, nobody pays attention. It's a yardstick, and you go, huh, look at that.
That's probably true. Hey, a 29-year-old man was on his honeymoon in Florida, ended up getting struck by lightning and died. This was on Saturday. He was standing in ankle-deep water in New Smyrna Beach. I've actually been there. This was around 12:30 p.m., so middle of the afternoon, when he was struck by lightning. And what's interesting is the lifeguards had not even cleared the beach yet because the storm was still several miles away. So I guess there wasn't enough of a concern. People were still on the beach, tried giving him CPR. He ended up dying the next day from his injuries. But what's also crazy about this is that two others who were nearby playing golf on that exact same day, it says they were indirectly hit. I don't know how you're indirectly hit by lightning, but they were struck too, I guess, indirectly, but they didn't even need to go to the hospital.
Remember, it was Chi-Chi Rodriguez, wasn't it, who said you should hold up a one iron if you're in an electrical storm, because not even God can hit a one iron.
Oh, boy.
I'm just saying.
You feel good about that one, Mark?
I don't know. I'm just saying. You could be indirect. Yeah, if it hits near you, it can shock the ground. I guess
that's it.
That is scary stuff. All right. Coming up, we've got Brent Sadler with more on what's going on with the debate over damage in Iran from the big bombs. And Congressman Eric Burleson on the big, beautiful bill and right now why he's a no.
Get more at 971talk.com.